Frescobraça.
That's our intro. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Bioscope Brasa. This is the show where two Brasa and a child talk movie news, interviews, shorts, and some cack in between. My name is Ross.
And I'm Jody.
And that's Jay. He's out of frame, but he's there. And he's there. It's a me, Mario.
It's a me, Jay.
Jay's there. He's eating his snacks, watching his movies. You do you, Jay. Like father, like son.
Same carefully considered responses as well.
Is he singing Baba Black Sheep? But like, and
he's just doing a gentle intro into Baba Black Sheep.
I see. Anyway, okay, first episode of the year. Did you catch up on movies?
Somewhat. I saw the first hour of
How's that?
That first hour was pretty crazy.
You must check the other two, my man. It's got everything. That was one of my favorites. Yeah, my top 10 kind of changed a bit.
Not doing another episode, though.
No.
Two was enough.
We do not, but we'll highlight some films that we really enjoyed. Give some recommendations.
We always
and
do.
But my top 10 changed.
So you've been seeing lots of stuff.
Yeah, I've been seeing some stuff. I haven't been disappointed so far. I'd say it's She Said we watched last night. Very good. One obviously cracked my top 10.
Yeah.
Yeah, the movies we're going to talk about today.
Mm-hmm.
But so far so good. I think 2022 was a liquor year for movies, man.
Did you see Strange World on Disney?
I don't know.
You don't know if you saw it?
No, I don't know if I want to.
Yeah.
Look, aside the marketing situation because of the gay character and they didn't market the gay character and all that jazz, apparently the movie is not that great.
Yeah, but I also wonder about the diversity and how much they invest when they have a diverse movie because they had nothing with us.
Yeah, they had nothing.
And it's the most diverse movie.
And I mean, once you watch Puss in Boots, it's like, yeah, nothing's going to top that, I think. Mm. Antonio Banderas is back, baby.
Yo, we're somehow giving free reviews before we do the actual reviews here. Time is money, pal.
Time is money. And on that note, let's get into the news.
Our wear, news and shorts.
Lord Brady Flacco Jody.
We saw my kid try to make that stick.
It's very good. I like the way it rolls off the tongue. Michael Bay,
yes.
We were fans before, but we're not so much fans anymore.
Yeah.
Waiting for his comeback. But he has been charged with animal abuse allegations.
Yeah, this is crazy because
it's not that crazy though.
On the face of it, you'd be like, that makes total sense. Mm. The size of the explosions and all that shit.
Yeah.
But he's been accused here of killing a homing pigeon.
Ah.
During the, not the, any of the Transformers movies, during the filming of Six Underground. It's those Italians.
Wait, so what exactly happened? How did the homing pigeon die? Was it in an explosion?
They just say during the production of this movie, they caused the death. Oh, the bird was hit by a dolly. That is so specific.
Like a woman's dolly?
Conor McGregor. The dolly to the bus.
Wow, that's insane.
I don't know how you get that, right? I expect, is it like during an explosion or during madness and the dolly went flying? But the Italian authorities are like investigating, like legit investigating.
Yeah, look, it's no small thing. Like the laws have changed around filming. I mean, back in the day, especially with children and animals and the protection of animals and stuff.
Yeah.
So if an animal does get injured or hurt during filming or even... like the homing pigeon, RIP.
Mm-hmm. Homie.
Unalived.
The homie.
The homie pigeon. If they get unalived, that's a serious offense. So I think, what could he be facing here? A fine, obviously.
Yeah, it's a fine, but it's also the reputational damage of actually being a director nowadays.
But, I mean, he doesn't care about human life. Why would he care about pigeon lives?
Do you know the movie that caused the whole thing about no animals were harmed during the making of this film?
No.
Cannibal Holocaust.
Wow.
You know that movie where they thought
I've seen it.
They thought they killed people.
Yeah.
They legit killed animals.
Animals, yeah. Did you watch it?
No, I'm never watching that movie.
I've seen it.
Oof.
It's hardcore.
Yeah. It's a turtle and what else do they kill? Like they kill
mammals. It's like, I can't remember. It's like rats or something.
And they just like went crazy. And, yeah.
But look, Michael Bay, I mean, he's flipped a car in like a crowded fucking street. He doesn't care.
He doesn't care. But also,
the bigger the explosion, the better.
Yeah. The more Bayos.
Mm.
He says that he's got film footage. He's got, there's clear video evidence. There's witnesses. The safety officers were on site. So he feels like he'll be exonerated.
I don't know about exonerated. Look, it's obviously an accident and you have everyone there in who has to be there.
Mm.
But Transformers, we'll see. It wasn't even Transformers. Do your best like DJ Scratch. Yo, where the fuck, what DJs are you listening to?
I've been to at least two clubs.
Was Living Room one of them?
Yes.
Yeah, against your will.
No.
That's the only reason I go to Living Room, is against my will.
I used to drive out from Strand, so anything was exciting.
Okay. Jodeci. Mm. Marvel Studios reportedly pays VFX artists 20% less than any other studio. This makes perfect sense.
Yeah, there's some new details that have come out now. Because remember, we covered this previously, that Marvel, VFX artists are being treated like absolute
shit. We can hear you.
The entire time, you guys are like an undercurrent of noise. Hear you. Are you making your problems
out? It's the baby, actually. He's the main culprit. Yeah, Gerald.
It's already stuck.
As far as the fans are concerned, Jody's son's name is Gerald. Anyway, yeah, Marvel Studios, 20% less. Yeah. What the hell?
So we covered this previously where we spoke about the working conditions that were really bad.
Bad.
They say it also works out to something like not just paying less, but where most studios would use three artists, Marvel uses one.
Nice.
So they give you like a really tight deadline.
No, so fewer people. You're getting paid less, but you're working longer hours as well.
Much longer hours, more intensive hours as well. And the reason that everyone is willing to put up with this is because Marvel's president of physical post-production, VFX and animation, Victoria Alonso, has got a ton of sway within that community. So if she gives you the thumbs up, that's like guaranteed work with a lot of other studios as well.
Yeah.
So everyone like does what they have to
survive.
Yeah, to impress her.
No, but that's the problem. With movies and CGI and stuff, it's so heavy when they have to actually be exploited in order to have a career.
Yeah.
Which is majority of them.
Yeah.
And you basically get to just put on your CV, oh, you worked on this movie, you worked on this movie.
And it was a successful movie.
You're struggling to feed your family, you haven't seen your folks in weeks, you know. It's what
Gerald is at home without both parents.
Is it worth it? Is it worth it?
No, and there's some pushback now because a lot of studios are actually, the VFX people.
Yeah.
Are actually just saying no.
Yeah.
These are our rights. And look, then, and Marvel got pissed.
If they strike, you know,
there's
they're
nothing
screwed.
You can do, exactly.
Yeah, they're screwed. So I am for it. Even if we don't get movies for 6 months, they need to fight for their wages, bro.
I think so. But Marvel,
I'll rewatch stuff so long.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But here, Marvel's new plan.
Oh god.
Marvel is now going to in-house the VFX.
India. Yeah. Oh, okay.
Well, probably. Yeah. They're just going to like get like a they'll buy a studio somewhere and make it an in-house Marvel studio.
India.
And then just treat those people like shit because now you work for us.
Look, if you're ever looking for a tutorial on any sort of creative tool or whatever, Indians are the way to go.
Yeah, that's like an entire market.
They know their stuff. So, yeah, I of course.
Also, and they being exploited like crazy
as
well.
Yeah, just go on Fiverr.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, we'll see what happens. But I think they need to strike me, bro. While the iron is hot.
While the electric is on.
Okay. Strong cup of Jody.
There's six of these.
Abby actually said we shouldn't talk about Ezra Miller.
But it's in the news.
It's in the news. Listen, we report the truth.
Them.
We just want to give an update. We just want to give an update.
This is an update to things we covered previously.
Oh, where?
Ezra Miller has copped a plea, as we knew they would do.
Yeah,
I mean, that was pretty much the obvious thing here. Yeah, sorry.
Jody's very upset by that.
But this is also only for the burglary case.
This is the one thing.
Yeah, this is only the burglary case. So you'll be hearing a lot more, Abby.
This is not the choking of the woman. This is not all the kidnapping.
Miller claimed that the choking incident was the victim's fault.
Yeah, of course. Of course. Of course it was.
So Miller's going to be paying a fine, $692 fine in relation to this burglary, which was actually just them stealing a bottle of wine from someone's cellar. And if they contravene their terms of probation, they go to prison for 89 to 90 days.
So the suspended sentence is they do go, it does go on their record,
yes.
But they have to behave well, and if they be, don't behave well, they go back into the clink.
So no,
this is
no
only the one case. I know people are already, there's backlash to be like, they're not getting the what they deserve and whatever. But remember, this was the maximum sentence for this specific incident.
Because it was such a minor thing in relation, especially in relation to the other things that have happened.
Yeah, like so the, it's still moving forward.
And all of that.
With the other cases.
Yeah.
Also, there's been talk that once the movie releases, you know, Warner Brothers would be open to having them stay. I think that's a major mistake.
Yeah.
I think they should just tie this with a bow and let it go.
Yes.
If the movie is good, it's good. So be it. Hopefully they make some money, whatever. But they should leave Israel.
They've canceled the planned spin-offs already been canceled. So I'd say Ezra Miller is too toxic of an actor to actually trust to keep on board.
Word up.
Just let them go.
They are seeking help, apparently.
Of course. Of course.
Yeah.
They always do.
You know, for Abby, we'll keep our eye close to the story, ever evolving, and we'll keep you up to date, my love.
Jen, can you go put the food off, the muscles, please? Just off, off.
Mm. Put it off.
Off, off.
Put the muscles off. Jody's making muscles today. Oh, I can't even. That's how he makes the muscles.
Cracking shells.
And we just heard that. She cracking didn't see shells. What you were doing. So it was just like, and he's like, yo, is he busting there? Joe DiMaggio, Adam Driver, is being eyed to play Reed Richards in the new Fantastic Four.
Apparently.
Apparently.
I don't see it, though. Him as Reed. Okay. I'd much prefer him as Dr. Doom.
Oh, I was going to say Susan Storm.
Yeah, that too.
No, the problem is that, okay, I don't want to be shallow, but his ears are a tad big.
Oh. Oh. Let's bring up that Adam Warlock discussion again.
No, because he's got a hairstyle that works for him.
Yes.
And he uses it in most movies.
A reverse bob.
Oh, wow. Mm. So now if they shave his sides and stuff.
Like Reed Richards normally.
Yeah, with the,
because you have to see the gray stripes. Yeah.
I don't know.
Nah. For me, it's not that. I don't mind physically what it looks like.
Yeah, yeah,
but
no,
I feel like him as an actor, Dr. Doom would be amazing.
Yeah, it would. I keep thinking of that line from like Marriage Story. Every day I wish, every day I wake up and I wish you were dead.
Adam Driver, Jen.
Yeah, to his ex-wife. Mm. Anyway, look, fan castings is always one thing. This is rumors and stuff. We'll see what happens. I just take it as it comes. And he's got the chops, Jody. He's got the chops.
Yeah, he's won me over as an actor. He's done some amazing stuff.
He has. And also bad stuff.
And some bad stuff, yes.
He's just human.
But people are going crazy with like castings at like supposed announcements. Right. Right. Apparently Superman was cast and then James Gunn went on Twitter and was like, no.
No, but that's the problem. You have to check the sites that it's coming from. You have to check the Twitter accounts that it's coming from and check if it's spam or flipping.
People clickbait. Just run with anything, man.
Bro, I can't. After watching She Said, there's no way. You know?
Well, the interesting thing with this is that John Krasinski is basically confirming that he's not coming back. He wasn't great in Doctor Strange for me. I think he was everyone's fan casting for Reed Richards, maybe mostly because we wanted
his wife
was Sue Storm.
I think if they did cast him and he was going to be in the film,
like in a more invested way. That's true.
I mean, that's a day of filming.
Yeah. It was a possibly. Day of filming, but it was like such a waste.
I know. He's no Tom Cruise.
No.
You know, Tom Cruise gives 100% every time.
150.
Actually.
150% of the time it works.
every time. Okay. We'll keep our ear to the streets, I guess. I just want Marvel to get back to its former glory. That's all. Joe Slovo.
I've got a puck.
Jeremy Renner. R.I.P. to his leg, apparently, and snowplow.
Shame.
Yeah, he had a heavy accident with a snowplow in the snow, I assume, and he's in a critical but stable condition. Yeah, it actually came out once we learned the story. Thanks, Abby. Oh, we were getting there. I just said the headline, but our field reporter is very angry.
Field reporter, Abby. So that's what we call couches.
But yeah, Jeremy, tell us what happened, Jody.
So when did this come out? Just after New Year's, I think.
Mm.
And weather in America is crazy right now. Somebody was in trouble and he went out to try and help him with his snowplow.
Mm.
And the whole thing flipped over and went over him.
Yeah.
The stories that came out right after, again, this is now the risk with like Twitter reporting, but it's like his intestines had been perforated and his leg was cut off and everything was going crazy.
His head was cut off.
And
his
legs were cut off. But it did take like 2 days to actually get to the point where proper news was coming out about this. But the
Because initially people said, oh, why is he fucking around on a snowplow?
Yeah, but like, what's he doing outside? Yeah, it's kind of crazy.
He was trying to help someone out. There was but now there's the issue of the snowplow company.
Yes, because the snowplow is not supposed
didn't work,
to do what it did.
There's a I don't look. There's no fucking snow in Cape Town. I don't know how snowplows work.
It doesn't snow there by you?
No, it doesn't. But apparently you need a sort of safety kill switch of some kind in certain situations, and that didn't work.
Yes. Mm. That would have prevented exactly what happened here from happening.
Yeah.
It's not supposed to happen.
No, but look, I just hope he recovers. I don't think he'll be firing arrows anytime soon.
No. Also, I mean, just think, do you remember with Tag? He broke both his arms, and then they had to CGI his arms for the rest of the movie.
Wait, no, don't lie.
Yes, true? Did you not know that?
No, I didn't.
His arms are CGI for the whole of Tag. That scene where they climb the chairs in that like school hall or something, when he falls, he breaks both of his arms. And he was in cast. They made him green plaster cast. His arms are literally CGI for the whole of Tag.
What the hell? That's insane.
Not the type of movie you would think something
like that. No, but I mean, it's very well done.
Yeah.
Gee whiz.
But next time you watch it,
I'm going to look at it.
Oh, you're coming for the ducky.
He sounded like the lighting up for me. It's corn. A big lump of knobs. It has the juice. Meat. Joe Black, the Golden Globes.
Oh, ending strong.
Yeah, the Golden Globes, Jody, that happened. Useless awards in movie history.
Oh.
Why does this award show have so much prestige? I don't understand it.
Do you know what it really is?
That's why I asked you now.
It's literally just the fact that this is the start of award season. So everyone has gotten so used to that sequence of the Globes, and then whatever,
SAG.
Then the Oscars, and then,
or
end off with the Oscars, you know, something.
Yeah, it's so stupid. There's 70 members in the Hollywood Foreign Press. They're not in the industry, not all of them are in the industry, and they vote on these awards. It's not even from, like, the Oscars are at least, these are members that are in the industry. It's from your peers. They vote for the best. The same with the SAG Awards.
Yeah.
And the Golden Globes.
The SAG Awards is probably the most legit because that's literally your peers voting for you.
So it's very strange, but it still holds quite a bit of clout.
It's tradition, literally. It's purely because of tradition.
But this is the return of the Golden Globes after that racism. I think the racism's still there, but
only for that 1 year.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
Every other year, Ross.
Every other year. But they were racist last year, and this year they're less racist. They got a black host.
Yes.
He had some zingers. I really enjoyed
He had some zingers.
Gerard Carmichael.
He had some zingers. He was also very insistent on people not talking while he was talking.
Yeah, yeah. No, he I saw a few gags from him, and I saw some interviews and stuff. One of my favorite gags was he came out with 3 Golden Globes. And he's like, these are Tom Cruise's Golden Globes.
From last year.
Yeah. That he gave back. Could we like melt this down and like offer it to find out the whereabouts of Shelley Miscavige?
No. I did not see that.
Which was hilarious. Yeah, he had some zingers. Even the build up to it was quite funny. So I guess the host was there.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to run through the winners and the nominees and then share our thoughts. So they kind of want to give awards to everyone. So they break it out into drama and... And what's a comedy musical?
Comedy musical is its own category.
Yeah, the musical, last time that comedy, new, that yeah. comedy musical, that famous one with Matt Damon.
Matt Damon?
Yeah, when he goes to the space.
Oh, The Martian.
Yes, that famous comedy that musical, famous The Martian. Comedy musical. Yeah.
Yeah, this is literally just to force in more like options.
Look, I want my films to win, even if it's useless awards. I do want my films to win. But this means nothing, but let's get through it.
In any case, so we had the big one, Best Picture.
Drama.
The Best Picture drama. That Oscar bait that I told you is going to be winning all the awards. The Fablemans.
Yeah, look, I also watched that film and it's a film.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's it.
I don't think it deserves this win because it was in the same category with Avatar Way of Water for some reason.
Yeah, I don't quite know.
Yeah, you haven't even seen the first one, but no. Avatar Way of Water, Elvis, I've watched part of it, Tar and Top Gun Maverick. Yeah, Tar.
Yeah, exactly.
I said Tar, Jay. Yo, he's very particular about that movie.
Pronunciation.
Yeah, sorry, Tar. So, and Top Gun Maverick, which I think in that category, either Tar or Top Gun Maverick should have taken it.
But also, like, Top Gun for me is not the type of film that wins awards. It's just like an amazing movie to see at the cinema.
Well, shouldn't an amazing movie win awards?
True.
You know
it's
what I
mean? It's just not typically what I would think of for award shows.
Sure, I get it. But, like... Why can't we get to a point where good movies win awards? How's about that?
I agree.
Okay, Best Actress Drama.
This one I agree with 100%. Cate Blanchett for Tar.
Yeah, you do love her. Olivia Colman, Empire of Light, which is apparently not very good. I haven't seen it.
Yeah, but she is.
She's good.
Yeah.
Viola Davis, Woman King. Anna de Armas, Blonde. People, never going to watch that.
Yeah, people despise that movie. Yeah. And Anna's still getting nominated.
I'm never going to. Yeah, but that just shows like her performance versus the film. Yeah. You know, the artist in the art or whatever. Michelle Williams, The Fablemans. She was okay, I guess.
Yeah.
Very erratic. I don't know what the character was like or whatever, but...
I mean, look, it's supposed to be semi-autobiographical. Yeah, yeah. Jaden's laughing at it.
Like, yeah, hey, he had fun. He loved the performance, Jay. We disagree. Best actor drama, Austin Butler for Elvis.
I can't argue. I wanted Brendan to win.
Brendan Fraser, The Whale. Look, I haven't seen it. Hugh Jackman, The Son.
Yeah.
Bill Nye, Living. And Jeremy Pope, The Inspection. I have not seen any of these.
I've been waiting for this joke since last year.
You could have just said the joke.
Do you know what Bill Nye's, what the government name is?
What?
Bill New Year's Eve.
Oh my God. Why is he the only one laughing at his own? I'm laughing quietly. Right now, I wish the end was nigh, actually. But I'm glad you enjoyed that. And was it worth it? Did you have fun
totally.
With it?
Totally.
Okay.
Totally.
Then that's all that counts, my friend.
It was so good.
Yeah, no, that's all that counts. Austin Butler, look.
Apparently, he's still in character.
Yeah, he's still talking like this.
People are complaining.
Like, so I'd like to thank you for the award. Thank you very much. I'd like to thank you very much for the award. He's talking like that the whole time. It's like he can't get out of it.
Yeah, he said that he was doing the character for 3 years with the film.
Yeah.
And it's hard to drop the character.
Yeah, look, I mean, maybe it just has to be in movies that feature Elvis or a Southern, someone from Memphis. Best Picture, Musical or Comedy, Banshees
Your
of Inisherin.
Favorite.
Yeah, look, my favorite didn't actually win Everything, Everywhere, All at Once, but I'm not mad at this.
Yeah, I would argue that Banshees could have been nominated within the drama category.
It could have, yeah.
Like, comfortably.
But that went up against Babylon, Everything, Everywhere, All at Once, Glass Onion, and Triangle of Sadness.
I'm not sure about Glass Onion being nominated. Yeah, this to me feels like they just need to fill out the categories because they have
Look, remember, they also nominate people just to get them to the awards also.
Yeah, also true, yeah. They were desperate this year.
They were very desperate. But between Everything Everywhere and Banshees, it can go either way for me.
True. Best Actor, Musical or Comedy, Your Man.
I told you.
Yeah.
I told you. He's going to take the Oscar,
I'm the
Colin
all
Farrell.
For it.
Yeah, Colin all Farrell for Banshees. He's going to take the Oscar as well. Diego Calva for Babylon. Daniel Craig, Glass Onion. Adam Driver, White Noise, Ralph Fiennes, The Menu. White Noise just came out. What the hell?
Yeah.
But Ray Fiennes, he was very good in the menu.
Yeah, probably him and what's the name, Anya, were my only things that I really liked from that movie.
Really?
Yeah.
I love that movie.
Nah, it was a bit self-indulgent for me.
That's the point, Jody.
I know. It's the satire at the entire industry. But the movie to me was like a bit too much.
You tatty. Anyway, best actress, musical or comedy, Michelle Yeoh, Everything Everywhere. Come on.
I'm down for it. My only thing is, I don't know if the Oscars are going to, the Academy nominates her. I think they have to. I don't think there's any way they can work around it.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of strong female
performances. It's stacked, you say, yeah. With Leslie Manville, Mrs. Harris Goes to Paris, Margot Robbie, Babylon, Anya Taylor-Joy, The Menu, Emma Thompson, Good Luck to You, Leo Grande. Mm-hmm. Best Supporting Actor, Ke Huy Quan, Everything Everywhere All at Once. He took it.
I cried at his speech.
Yeah, it was very emotional. Yeah. And I'm just glad to see him back, actually.
Literally every space he's been in where he's interviewed, he says, thank you for having me. Like, the first thing he says, firstly, thank you for having me. I feel so honored to be here.
Yeah, he's just so grateful. Yeah, it's crazy.
And then you called it.
Yeah.
Angela Bassett.
Angela Bassett, Black Panther, supporting actress. I told you, yeah. She's wasn't my pick. Mm-hmm. My pick isn't even nominated, which actually upset me. I wanted to talk about that. So, Jamie Lee Curtis is nominated, right?
Yes, but...
And she has been in the forefront of the marketing for the movie.
Yes.
But Stephanie Soo
is actually
the one that the deserves to be here.
Yeah.
I don't understand it. Yeah. Like, they're pushing this whole thing. Jamie has been like, because she's amazing, the big women name. Supporting women. Yeah, but it's bullshit.
Yeah, it is. But this is politics, plain and simple.
Nah, bruh. Stephanie Soo's character in the story is more important than Jamie Lee's character.
She is the supporting actress. That's the thing about the Globes. This establishes the trend for further nomination.
Pisses me off. But Best Director, winner Steven Spielberg. We saw that coming.
Whatever.
I wish the Daniels won or Martin McDonagh.
I would have loved for the Daniels or Martin McDonagh. I would have loved for the person that directed After Sun to at least be nominated as well. I think that this is... Like James Cameron for Avatar... Again, this movie just came out.
No, they just wanted him to come. Best Screenplay, Martin McDonagh. I'm not mad at that, but I think Everything Everywhere All at Once
is the most original thing there.
Yeah, I think that should have won. Yeah, Golden Globes, who gives a shit? But also, we're going to watch for the Oxes. Going to watch for the Oxo.
Oscar nominations.
Oh, yeah. I was thinking of the stock blocks.
Oxo.
Yeah. For Norox. That beefy this episode Norox. Brought to you by Oxo Norox.
Yo, I really buy enough Norox for us to be sponsored.
I actually found Worcester sauce braai mix in Qualiland. Did you use it already?
I haven't used it yet, it's but I've seen
clicker.
It.
Sec, it's time for a review.
This week we are reviewing two Netflix not-so-classics.
Double feature vibes.
First one is Glass Onion, A Knives Out Mystery, directed by Rian Johnson and starring Daniel Craig, Edward Norton, Janelle Monáe, Catherine Hahn, Leslie Odom Jr., Jessica Henwick, Madeleine Klein, Kate Hudson, Dave Bautista. This movie is about a tech billionaire, Miles Brown, who invites his friends for a getaway on his private Greek island. When someone turns up dead, Detective Benoit Blanc is put on the case.
Ooh, yeah. The story, so if you watch Knives Out, you would know that it's a crime, it's a murder mystery.
Yeah.
And this detective is like the Sherlock Holmes of it all. Mm. And I'm really, when I heard they were doing a sequel, I was very excited because I really enjoyed Knives Out.
Very much.
Yeah, I thought it was a lot of fun. It was so dope. And then they come out with this story.
Mm.
And I was like, okay, this is amazing. It's Benoit Blanc in a different context during COVID, which was woven into the story quite nicely.
One of the best ways that COVID has been naturally incorporated into stories so far.
Because the movie starts and he's like bored at home.
Yeah, going crazy, doing online stuff with
playing Among Us with Angela Lansbury.
Yes, among others. The other people are just as famous. It's like a book author and someone else.
Stephen Sondheim.
Yes.
Yeah, so he's the author, Angela Lansbury. Mm. And then that other red-headed woman from Russian Dolls. You didn't watch Russian Dolls?
No. Huh?
Anyway, so he's bored and he's looking for a mystery and whatever. And these, you first, find out who the other characters are.
Mm.
They quick give you quick introductions. I really like everyone, I must say.
Yeah, I feel like this movie was perfectly cast. Yeah. Like,
Absolutely.
Perfectly. Which is hard with ensemble castings. Yeah. It's like you might get like an 80% hit rate and then a couple of people fall off.
Yeah.
But this movie, everyone is really embodies their character. And is very integral to the storyline.
No, 100%. But my friend did have an issue with Janelle Monáe. Hilda, she's an actress.
Mm-hmm.
And she said she didn't believe Janelle Monáe and she didn't like her performance.
Oh, but we'll have to talk about that during the twist time.
Yeah, but I mean, even so, even after that twist reveal, she said she still didn't like it. Now, I have to rewatch it and see, but I really enjoyed it.
On first viewing, I very much enjoyed it.
But the story is that it's these weird characters that we meet. They all get a puzzle box and it invites them to this island to meet this billionaire.
And their friendship's also established because they all work together to solve that puzzle box and everyone contributes a little bit. And
Which was quite funny. Well, most of them contributed. Yeah. Kate Hudson's character, not so much.
Not so much. Yo, Jessica Henwick.
Yeah.
When Matrix came out, I think we were all a little bit upset that like an actress like her was wasted. I hope that this is, for her, like a step onto bigger things because she's so ready to do more.
Yeah, she is.
And I hope Marvel brings her back as well. Charlie Cox is advocating for her to come back in Daredevil. Yeah,
don't bring back Danny Rand, though.
No, no.
Recast Danny Rand.
In any case.
Everyone is good. Everyone.
Yeah, everyone.
Batista, so good. As the alpha male podcast guy.
Yeah, he's a man, men's rights activist.
Men, because men, they need representation.
Yeah.
And then
Andrew Tate's been arrested. So.
Fucking Andrew Tate, what a fucking idiot. He's a men's rights activist. Mm. Then you have Kate Hudson. She's this ditzy party girl who's
a fashion icon.
She started as a fashion influencer and then became like a sweatsuit maker, right?
Mm-hmm.
She makes traction bands or something. Mm-hmm. Then you have who's that?
Leslie Odom Jr.
Yeah, he is the scientist. He works for Edward Norton.
Yeah,
and he's super smart and he works in the company. Then you have the other woman who's a politician. What's her name?
Catherine Hahn.
Catherine Hahn. She's also very good. I'm seeing her in more and more stuff. She's always been like constant. She's very good. And then Whiskey is. I just thought about it now. She
didn't mention that.
Yeah, she's Dave Bautista's girlfriend.
Yeah, Madeline Klein, I think.
Yeah, and then Jessica Henwick plays Kate Hudson's assistant.
Yes, who's also invited to this thing because she goes everywhere.
Yeah, so they are what they call the disruptors, along with Edward Norton. Janelle Monáe's character, you find out more about her, but they started the company together, yes. Alpha Wave. Alpha Branding.
Yeah. What is it?
Alpha Technologies.
Alpha Chino.
So they started this company. Everyone became rich, except for Janelle Monáe's character because they had a disagreement, and he basically cheated her out of the company.
Yeah,
but we find out more about that, and they call
and everyone else's role in that too.
Exactly. So he invites everyone to the island to play a murder mystery game, which I thought was cool.
Yeah,
a little on the nose, but for a good reason.
Fantastically on the nose.
And Benoit Blanc is invited to this thing.
Apparently by accident.
Yeah. He pitches up and he's like, are you there? And Edward knows. It's like, how much can we talk about it?
Yeah, it's tough. Because like we said, how the core friend group works together to solve the puzzle, to figure out that they're invited.
Yeah.
Then Janelle Monáe's character, like the contrast of her is immediately shown because she just hammers the shit out of her thing to open it up.
Yeah.
And then Benoit Blanc is in the bath and then there's a ring at the doorbell and then it says there's something there for him.
Yeah.
So everyone's kind of brought there in this weird way, but we can't dive too much into that now because we'll be revealing some spoilers if we do.
I really like the introduction of all these kooky characters, how the rich live and the fashion and all this stuff, and putting Benoit Blanc in this situation.
Yeah. Can I just say, impeccably dressed in every single scene among this group of people.
This guy.
Benoit Blanc comes out there with his...
The swimsuit was my favorite. The striped swimsuit with the neckerchief.
Perfectly knotted.
I loved it. I was like, this is an icon vibes.
Yeah. So we mentioned, both of us said we love the cast, right? Mm. the story is also such an interesting take on the murder mystery genre. Yeah,
it is. And because, look, Rian Johnson has said that it's very hard to like try and trick people at this point.
Yeah.
So he went in another direction, which I think is super refreshing. And it was just fun to see it play out, especially with the characters. And once you realize what's going on, how they react to it or how Benoit reacts to it, it was just...
It was really, really well done. I think that the idea of like, it's a closed room mystery, right? Which is the ultimate form of mystery. Yeah. But also not.
Yeah.
Because all these conventions just get like smashed apart.
Yeah.
And Rian Johnson, I feel like he's having so much fun filming this one.
Oh, definitely.
More so than the first movie, which the first one I loved. It's a really good movie. I also love
this one. You're right. It is more fun, I would say.
They really lean into that.
But it's the characters that, that he's written. Like, you're dealing with people who are wealthy, who are eccentric, who are horrible, who are, you know, so the world that they live in is not the world that we live in.
No.
So you can push those stereotypes and those characters a bit further because it's out there.
I mean, they get to the island and they get those wrist tags that like,
They had the vaccine before.
Yes, apparently. But like the wrist tags open their rooms, but also connects them to whatever else. It's like the entire place is just so out of the realm of a normal person.
100%. I'm just thinking what else we can talk about in before spoilers.
Well, I mean, the big thing here is that the thing that drove the wedge between Edward Norton's character and Janelle Monáe's character is the direction the company was going into, right?
Yeah.
And there they start bringing in discussions around hydrogen and alternative fuels and all of that. Is that something that's accessible? If it is accessible, is it actually safe to use?
Yeah.
So all of that gets brought into, which I think is quite topical because we've
well, I mean, even the character of Edward Norton is more topical than
through circumstances. I mean, I feel like Rian Johnson must have been so like, because he didn't just write this character.
No, it
was
from 2020, like and, back in the a couple of years ago.
And as he's like releasing this movie and the world's news unfolds.
We'll touch on that in spoilers. Yeah, just well thought out, man. Which is what you have to do in a murder, in a mystery.
Yeah, and I dug the twist. Like the timing of it, the way it unfolded, the way it was explained, I really enjoyed it. There's no part of this movie where I feel like, nah, that's not doing it for me at all.
Everything was great.
Yeah.
Let's get into spoilers.
But first, I mean, it's obvious how we both feel about this.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. The rating.
100% this quiet.
Yeah. For Netflix. Yo, it's a pity that it had a cinema release for only a week. And I feel like it would have made more money.
This is something I don't understand because I feel like this would have made great money at the cinema.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
And Netflix chose to only play it for a week and then it went out.
Well, they had a deal, yeah. They also gave the cinemas a bigger cut.
Yes, but Netflix's model and how they make money, because just like the broad strokes figures here, budget of $40 million, box office $15 million.
Yeah.
So where does Netflix make their money?
New subscribers.
How many new people are there in the world?
So stupid. But it's a quiet for me.
Yeah, let's go to spoilers.
Edward Norton is the killer.
We did two spoilers.
We did double spoilers.
I'm glad it was Kismet.
You chose the right way. I chose the right way. That's it. Batista dies and Edward Norton is the killer.
Yo, but the first twist where Benoit just like solves the Gillian Flynn mystery.
I loved it. So Edward Norton plans this whole weekend for a murder mystery party. He got Gillian Flynn to write it.
Mm-hmm.
And Benoit Blanc literally solves it.
Like 5 minutes.
Not even. They got there, they started, and he's like, oh, have we started? And they're like, yeah. And he's like, Birdie did it.
Mm.
And then he explains why. And Edward Norton is just sitting there like, what the fuck? That was kind of funny. But it ties in with the entire reveal that it wasn't actually a clever murder.
No.
It wasn't a criminal mastermind trying to outsmart anyone. It was just a plain old stupid murder.
And also that Edward Norton is an idiot.
Yeah,
the fact that they use that as like the big, as a huge driver of this movie. Edward Norton is literally an idiot who everyone thinks is a genius because he has money and
a la Elon Musk.
Yes.
It's so spot on for Elon
Musk.
But
even something like the fact that he does malapropisms and Benoit Blanc like kept hearing it
all
that
time.
He wasn't like registering that it was wrong.
I did actually watch it twice now, thinking about it, and picked up all of them
the wrong
afterwards.
Things.
Yeah, I was like.
For me, I figured out the fact that Edward Norton poisoned him with swapping the glasses because I saw
but you,
that.
You must watch it again because you can see him do it and you can see him take the gun as well. You see all of it
I
on the second watch.
I saw the glass thing. And for me, it's like I saw it and I didn't even care that I figured it out because the reveals are still hilarious.
Yeah, amazing.
He's just an idiot.
Yeah, he's just an idiot.
Who pays people? Even the puzzles that he made, the elaborate puzzles that were the invites, he outsourced it.
Yeah, he outsources everything. Benoit Blanc was so upset because it wasn't a juicy mystery that he had to solve. It was just so simple. And then they're like, oh, because he said it's dumb. And then they say, but is it so dumb that it's smart? And he's like, no, it's just dumb. But the other reveal is that Janelle Monáe, the actual character who started the company with Edward Norton, was murdered by Edward Norton, and her twin sister has come posing as her to the island to get to the bottom of it, basically, and find the evidence that proves that she started the company with him.
So the fact that she was her dead sister's twin and that she was working with Benoit Blanc is eventually revealed. Because we get an elaborate flashback explaining.
I love that too. Like at that point.
Perfectly timed.
Yeah.
It's not that long that it throws you out of the story. So they were working together.
They were working together the entire time, which was a nice reveal as well. But
because that's how Benoit ends up at the island. She brought the invite to him. She smashed it and then brought it to him,
yeah. So it was very, very cool. Edward Norton in this whole... The glass onion is obviously a metaphor, but it's also a literal structure that Edward Norton has on this island, and it refers back to a bar where they had their first idea for the company called the Glass Onion. So it has multiple meanings. There's a lot of multiple meanings in this film, but he has all these rare artworks,
including
the Mona Lisa. In his mind, that's the best painting in the world. And he got it on loan from the museum. He obviously had to pay for it. But there's a number of tiles in there. The one painting is hung upside down, but he didn't know. Yeah, so it speaks to his character. It's an abstract painting, but the name of the painting or the description is actually red over dark blue on dark gray. But the red is at the bottom. So it's he had instructions to do it and he still did it wrong.
What's up, Jim?
Why?
Your spoiler should have been the Mona Lisa.
There's only two of us.
You could have shouted that out.
We chose what we chose.
Thank you. Come in here, you wrong.
Okay, well, Jen spoiled that. The Mona Lisa was burnt.
Edward Norton.
Amazing.
Again,
I love that sequence.
In his infinite wisdom, decides that the most intensive security feature on the Mona Lisa will be overridden, so he can actually look at the painting without any type of glass in front of it. So literally throughout the movie, whenever a phone goes off or whenever something like ice blocks chingle in a glass, this thing snaps shut like that.
he popped up. Yeah.
But Edward Norton has an
override. He built in an override switch, without them knowing.
Which eventually leads to his downfall.
Yeah, his demise, or the demise of his reputation. So, he has this new clean fuel called Clear. And that's the whole thing where...
which has been rushed through...
Yeah, and it's not stable.
Yeah.
It's actually very flammable, from what I can see. Volatile.
Yes.
Because everyone is, beholden to him because of their careers and their money and how far they've come, they just go along with whatever he wants.
And they've all been manipulated into ways that are useful to him in terms
That's how he screwed Janelle Monáe in the first place. He's obviously bought all of them. And
they were her friends, actually. Yeah. She introduced him to the group.
Exactly.
And
when he was dressed like Tom Cruise from Magnolia.
Oh, yeah.
So... that's how they screw her over. So the politician is obviously going to change laws in order to get Clear passed.
The scientist
is going to approve science things. Birdie has to assign a thing because that was fucking funny.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. That her sweatpants was made in sweatshops.
And she thought
That's a sweatshop was just a place that makes sweatpants.
Yo, again, Jessica Henwick, though. Yeah. Like Birdie, please tell me.
Yeah, because she knows. I mean, you wouldn't think that, but she knows Birdie, and she's like, no. It can't be. Come on. It's not working.
It's working now. What are you watching, though?
Oh, goodness. Is it porn? No. Oh, okay. Phew. I thought you were a bad Benham for a second.
Nah, YouTube kids, man.
So, I mean, that reveal was so funny.
Yeah.
And it, like, makes perfect sense for the character. Dave Bautista, he was, you know, banned from YouTube and stuff. And I think he was going to be banned from Twitch. So he was going to go on Edward Norton's network.
And
so
they were going to hype him up
there. They all had something.
And the reason that Edward Norton eventually has for killing Dave Bautista is that he's the only one who's still checking the news updates on his phone.
Yeah.
And he then becomes savvy to the fact that what's-her-name is actually dead.
Yes.
Andy, I think, is
that's her name.
Sister.
And he was the one who saw Edward Norton leaving her house.
Yes.
When he almost got pancaked.
Yeah.
Which was so because if you rewatch, that's the thing. You have to actually watch it again once you know everything and you can see all the signs. Yeah. Mm. So I thoroughly enjoyed this film. I think this is a franchise that could be so great.
Mm.
If they continue on this trajectory, obviously they can't do the same thing again.
They can't.
Just like they didn't do the same thing the first time.
That's my point.
So I feel like this could, if he does something else, something new, something fresh.
I reckon people thought another ensemble cast, it's going to be the same type of thing again. And he's done like, this is Benoit Blanc in a new environment. It's a completely different mystery. It's fantastic new characters.
Yeah.
I'm excited for whatever the whole
thing is. Hell yeah. I'm going to hit you with some facts.
Mm.
One that we really appreciate, I suppose, is Joseph Gordon-Levitt playing the Dong.
Every single Rian Johnson film.
He's been in every single Rian Johnson film, and his role in this film is just him going Dong.
Yeah.
Because he has an hourly Dong on the island, and that Dong is Joseph Gordon-Levitt. The other person who's been in Rian Johnson films the entire time is
Ethan Hawke. Oh,
Noah Segan.
Oh,
so he plays the slacker who lives on the island.
Yes, he was the policeman in the first film.
Yeah, he's just on the island there.
Yes.
That's all he's doing.
It's never explained.
No,
Edward
I love
Norton
it.
Norton makes a big thing of, we're the only people on the island, and then he just comes waltzing
by. And he's like, hey, I love it. I love the fact that it's just this dude living there. It's the best. Rian Johnson has stated that he briefly considered having a running joke of Daniel Craig playing Benoit Blanc with different accents in
that
each
would
movie.
Be amazing. That would be so
amazing. But it was too out there. I think from what I can tell from the facts and even the movie itself, he just had a shit ton of fun with this. With ideas for Benoit Blanc, for all the other characters, bringing Angela Lansbury into it. Like, it's just so much fun.
Yeah. And everything works. Like, all of these seemingly out there ideas get brought together in a way that's just...
Yeah.
It works.
It does work. Another thing that we might have missed is that at the 1:41 mark, while Helen is ransacking the rooms, she dumps out a bag, and there's clearly a sheet of LSD with a few squares missing.
Yeah.
Chronologically, after that search, Birdie has exaggerated reactions as if she was on something. So she was actually on LSD after that whole thing,
which explains quite a lot.
The way she reacts to things, you're like, yo, this woman is kind of stupid. But she's actually tripping.
She's tripping her balls off.
This is also not Edward Norton's first film where he keeps stealing everyone else's ideas.
Yeah, the other one was the Italian Job.
Italian Job! After he screwed everyone else.
He was so unoriginal, he just took everyone else's things.
There's a lot of facts. You can actually go look at it because, I mean, it is so dense with Easter eggs and jokes. And this is the...
It's a very rewarding rewatch movie.
This is the thing, Jody. I want to talk about Nope. Because Nope, you know, I have my issues with that film. And it's all like, oh, look at this symbolism and this and this. And it's just so fucking... you know, like, yeah, it's scumbling.
But very serious.
This is just for fun's sake.
Yeah.
It's putting all these things in here for the enjoyment of it. And I feel like that's the difference. And I prefer this and fuck you.
And your choices for your top 8.
I'm joking.
No, I get you.
Yeah.
This, like I said, this movie, I think I haven't rewatched it yet, but I look forward to just like chilled on a Friday night or Saturday and just watching this movie again because I will enjoy myself watching it again. It'll have great rewatch value when you know all the twists.
100%.
And you see all these other things.
That's amazing. Like, just finding... Watching Edward Norton switch the glasses, which some people may have spotted, but take the gun and put it in the eye.
That, like, I didn't, yeah.
Amazing. Mm. So I definitely recommend this one. I think you should give it a shot. And I can't wait to rewatch... basically, like, all of them. Because apparently they're planning two more movies.
Ooh.
The third one's already been greenlit.
Yeah, but Netflix also bought this for, like, a shitload of money.
Yeah, right? That's the problem.
Yo, it's like, I think I read here now, they paid, like, $400 and something million for it.
That's why obviously Ryan Johnson and everyone was like, okay, well, yeah, fine, Netflix, you can have it.
Whatever you
They
say.
Basically outbid everybody.
Yeah.
Benoit Blanc is one of my favorite detectives now.
Yeah, I would love. I would love them to do the accent thing.
Yeah,
like a completely different.
No, but they can't now because they did it twice.
And also, like, did you see when actors did the accent challenge for Variety or something? They
tried to do Benoit Blanc.
Janelle Monáe was, like, quite good.
Yeah, but she is, like, from the south, so she can do it. One last one, which I thought was quite funny. In the scene where Miles is playing pool, there's a sign behind him with the word pool.
Mm.
He is positioned blocking the L. Mm. So the remaining letters spell poo in neon lights next to his head, keeping in line with Alan's description of his group as shitheads.
Nice. The level of detail.
Level of detail.
Ish, we have one more movie to go. Our second movie this week is The Pale Blue Eye, which was directed by Scott Cooper. This movie is about a veteran detective, Augustus Lando, who investigates a series of grisly murders with the help of a young cadet who will eventually go on to become the world-famous author Edgar Allan Poe. This movie stars Christian Bale, Harry Melling, Lucy Boynton, Robert Duvall, Gillian Anderson, Timothy Spall, Charlie Tahan, and yeah, that's about it. This was a cuck movie.
This movie was cuck, Jody. So, do we have any shout-outs for this?
I love this idea.
Yeah, are there any shout-outs this week? Because that movie was cuck.
No, I don't think so.
All right. So, if someone wanted to find us, how would they find us, Jody?
They can find us on Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, and YouTube, Bicycle Brasa Podcast. And they can write to us at bicyclebrasa@gmail.com.
I'm looking forward to 2023. Mm-hmm. And stay safe, everyone. Safe, Jody.
Safe, Ross.